Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are going to jump into part four of our series, Teach Us to Pray, Teach Us to Praise. I do believe this will be the last part of this series. We'll come back and start something different in a few weeks. Part four is on. You can see our subtitle is called Entry. We spent the last 3 weeks talking about prayer. We're going to talk today about praise. Again, how many of you here were here Friday night for our praise night? There, I sense a bit of an excitement in God's house this morning because you know and understand the power of praise. And that's what this is all about. Helping us to just have a fresh understanding. Why do we praise? Why is it so important that we sing songs to God, either individually or as a church? Why is that so important? So I'm going to give you the main point right up front. Okay, we're talking about spiritual combat, right? This is the avenue that we're honing in on. Why is prayer and praise, how is that a tactic to help us engage our enemy? And because praise is the battering ram that kicks open the door to the enemy's strongholds in your life. I love that Ted got up here and prayed, and he prayed against enemy strongholds. That's the Spirit talking. He's telling you something. Right? In Ephesians, so this question came up. That's where we're going to go today. Okay? That's what we're going to tell you how that works. Before we get into that, I want to address something I said last week. A few of you came to me with questions after pretty much the same question after the message last week. When I said that the enemy, Satan, the devil, has been disarmed. He is weaponless by virtue of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and through his resurrection. And he has nothing he can use against you. The power of sin is broken. He can't threaten you with death, either physically or eternal. And therefore, his power, you can't be separated from God. If you have said yes to him, then there is nothing on earth or under heaven that can ever separate you from his love. So Satan is completely disarmed and weaponless. Amen? Amen. And the question came to me then, well, where then do the fiery arrows come from? And that's in Ephesians 6:16, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows or flame missiles of the enemy. Well, if he's disarmed, then where are those missiles coming from? And so I want to address that, and that will lead us into this subject of praise and how we align our mind with God's word, and that removes anything that the enemy could use against us. So as we do that, we're going to kick things off. Sword drill. What's a sword drill? Oh, I see everybody scrambling for Bibles. Guys are getting good at this, right? Bring a Bible to church every week. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, please. We'll get you one. Get yours to take. You can take it home. Don't leave home without your weapon. Don't leave church without your weapon, right? The Bible, the God's word, is your offensive weapon. It's the thing that you use to engage the enemy and cause him to flee. So, sword drill is, I'm going to call out a scripture. You find it. First person who can find it, read it. Or if you have it memorized, you get a bonus point if it's memorized. Stand up, read it for us, and I got a prize. I refilled now our bucket of goodies here. There's all kinds of good stuff in here. There's peanut butter cups and Kit Kats and Snickers and all kinds of stuff in here. I know it's all chocolate, but, you know. If I keep a bit of fruit in here after like a week, somebody's going to get mad at me, so. If you have suggestions for like snacks, I can just let me know and I'll gladly fill the bucket. So anyway, all right, sword drill. James chapter 1, 13, 14, and 15. James 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. When you got it, stand up. Lisa's quick on a draw. What do you got, Lisa? Job, Lisa. What do you want? Snickers, peanut butter cup, Kit Kat, Milky Way? What? Kit Kat. I don't have to throw it as far this week. Last week I had to throw it up to the balcony. All right, so I want to make this point here. All right, so we have to understand where do the enemy's fiery missiles come from. All right, we don't blame God for it. All right, God does not tempt anyone. He cannot be tempted, and he does not tempt anyone. That's not what he does. Any source of evil in your life comes from the devil. Where does it come from? I want to look at this word here, enticed. Everybody say enticed. Enticed in the Greek means to catch with bait. It's a baited hook. The enemy entices you with a baited hook. So your enemy, the devil, has no weapons except the ones you give him. the things that you give him allowance for, the things that you you give him, that's what he can use against you. All right. He can only tempt you with things that you have not submitted or aligned with God's word. What do I mean by that? Anything that I have not submitted to God's word, to the truth of God's word, he can use against me. So if I get caught up, in the fear, if I give in to greed, I'm fearful of not having enough, and I let that work in me, and that dictates my spending choices. Okay, I have not submitted to Luke 12:15, where Jesus said, "Be on your guard against every form of greed." Recognize that greed is fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. So if I give in to greed, it's because I have not aligned my mind and my heart with God's word. If I give in to lust, if I betray my wife's the integrity of my marriage with my wife by lusting after a woman, it's because I haven't submitted to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. He says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed the deed in your heart. You've already committed the deed. Right? Again, it's something I've allowed myself because I haven't brought it into alignment and said, no, this is God's word. This is the standard that you will adjust to. Or I've said, no, that doesn't apply here. And therefore, I give license to whatever I think about. If I do that, now I've given him an opportunity. Now I put that weapon in his hand, and now he can launch it against me because I've not aligned myself with God's word. If I hold true to God's word and I say, no, God's word says, just like Jesus did when he fought the devil, no, Satan, it is written, God's word says, when I say God's word, that brings me into alignment, and that keeps me on the solid path and keeps me from stumbling or falling into something that that is not of God's will. Craig Rochelle, Pastor Craig Rochelle, said this. I was listening to one time, and he said, talking about this, he said, I've been counseling people for years. He said, I've never had a guy said, I don't know what happened. I was just walking along one day, and I stumbled and fell in the bed with a naked woman. He said, that never happens. Why? He said, that process started long ago by the thoughts and the things that you did not submit to God's word, that those little incremental things that lead us to that place of temptation. Right? God didn't do it. The devil did it. But we allowed him to. Right? So this is Christ's death has broken the power of sin. Jesus Christ paid for every sin that could ever be accomplished. He paid that debt. And he broke the power of sin when he rose from the dead and broke the power of the devil. Now, if you have said yes to Jesus, you say, Lord, you are my God, you are my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe I am forgiven. And now I am raised in newness of life. You have the Holy Spirit inside you, just like Jesus came out of the tomb in newness of life. Then you don't work for the flesh anymore. You don't work for the devil anymore. He's your old boss. I've asked this before. How many of you ever worked for a company that you absolutely hated? A few of you are willing to admit it. I can't really say that, right? Right? You're sitting over there. You had that job you absolutely hated, and then how freeing it was when you left that job and got into a job that you really love. How many of you work in a job that you absolutely love right now? Great. And you say, hey, would you want to go back to that old job? I visited my former job just 2 weeks ago. I went up and saw my former coworkers and stuff, and they're like, hey, we've got some open positions. You want to come back? I said, there isn't enough money in the world for me to come back to this job. I don't work here anymore. All right? That's how it is with your nature. If you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you don't have your sin nature anymore. You don't work for that boss. So no matter how much the devil calls you up and says, hey, I want you to come do this, that, or the other thing, I don't work for you anymore. Goodbye. Click. But if he calls you up and you go, well, okay, I guess I should. I guess I feel obligated to go to you. Or, we spent so much time together. I guess this one time wouldn't hurt. If the second you do that, you've made a concession. Now he's got an open door. Now he's got you. But you're not bound by it anymore. Okay? That's a baited hook. Fishermen, all you guys and gals who fish. You can have all the equipment, all that good stuff, right? And I've heard this from fishermen. I don't know. Fish just weren't biting today. Right? And we've had that experience. Fish just weren't biting. Oh, well. Well, guess what? If you recognize when the devil puts that baited hook out there, and you recognize, you go, I know what that is. I'm not biting on it. No matter how much he puts that stuff out there, if you don't bite, he can't snare you. He can't carry you away. But the second you say, oh, gee, that looks good, this time will be different. And you bite down on it, bang, now he's got you, now he reels you in, and now we've got problems. Okay? So, understand that if you ignore the hook, you have zero chance of being caught. Understand that God does not tempt you. He does not place you in a place of temptation. And he does equip you with everything you need to address and overcome evil in your life. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. This is our central verse for today. All right, let's read this nice and loud together so we cement it in our hearts, move it from our minds down into our souls here. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." This reiterates what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other. Against the source of evil who is in the spiritual realm. And though God can at times allow us a window to see or hear or experience things in the spiritual realm, largely we operate in the physical. Our bodies are in the physical. Our mind and our heart wage that war in the spiritual realm. As much as we would love to just grab that snake, because we can see him, it would be a whole lot easier if we could just see him, right? Just, oh, I know, recognize that snake, and stomp him or grab him and throw him out in the street. We don't get to do that. It's in the spiritual realm. We have to engage our heart and our mind in order to do that. Okay? So, how do we do that? All right? Understand that the only tools the devil has left, because he's been disarmed, because the power of sin is broken, the power of death is broken, all that's gone, the only tools he has left is his deception, his distraction, and his disruption. If he can get you focused on something else, you expending your energy in a different area, well, now he's starting to make some progress. If we don't align ourselves with God's word, now we give him that weapon. It's like me taking my gun out. Here, use this against me, please. No, I'm going to retain this. I'm going to hold on to this so that you can't use it against me. When we don't align our thoughts with God's word, what Paul's just said here, take every thought. Say every thought. Every thought. Well, I give God like 50% of my thoughts. That's 50% you're giving to the enemy. When we don't take every thought captive, we give the devil bricks to build walls and strongholds. Not only is he going to harass us and use those. See, he's a master manipulator. He's a master, not a domino player, but setting dominoes up, right? You know, like what we really use dominoes for. Set them up and make. He knows. I'll just put this one here and I'll fling that first one down, and he knows the ripple effect that will have in our lives. But if we don't give him that opportunity, then he can't do that. But if we have these thought processes that where we continually do not subject ourselves to God's word, it builds pathways, it builds fortresses, it builds a stronghold where now he takes up residence because we believe it. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm whatever it is, any addiction, any hurt, any destructive behavior, any of that stuff, it's because we have repeatedly believed and given ourselves to something other than God's truth. That's what insanity is. It's making a decision based on an untruth. And well, where does untruth come from? It's the devil. He is the father of lies. So when those things happen, but we believe enough times, well, then whether it's, you know, your self-worth, what you believe about your spouse or your kids or your coworkers or your church or whatever, I'm going to keep giving myself that and keep believing that and thinking about it. That established. Now we're just giving him bricks, and he builds that fortress. And now it's this block in our lives, you know, that is preventing us from experiencing the fullness of God's abundant life for us. We understand, right? Because why does he only have deception, distraction, and disruption? Because your past has been defeated by Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. He paid the debt for all of your sin. Your future is secure because Jesus has risen to newness of life and ascended back to the Father, and he's promised that all those who believe in him will experience the resurrection as well. And your present is secure because he has said, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, who will be a part of you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. He helps you to live each and every day, every moment of your life. So past, present, and future, all secure if you believe in it and if you commit yourself to it. But when we don't do that, when we don't submit to it, now we give the enemy an opportunity to build something. And this is why, both in the physical and in the spiritual realm, right? We live in a, and I'm coming from a law enforcement background, right? This is why we, you know, we have laws. We have an establishment. We have to say, this is how you're supposed to act. This is, you know, and this is the code of conduct that we expect. And we have deterrence. We have, you know, the threat of punishment. If you break this law, then there are this punishment. And then there is actual punishment, you know, whether it's a fine all the way up to getting the electric chair, right? And we have the presence of officers who are equipped and empowered by the authority to go out and protect and uphold the law. Despite all those things, evil still exists, doesn't it? In the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. God has defeated the devil. He has established, there's a new covenant, there's a new law in place that says those who have said yes to me, that the devil can't touch them anymore. And we have with deterrence, and the enemy knows that his days are numbered, and that sooner or later Jesus Christ is going to show up on clouds of glory and put him away forever and ever. And he knows that there are millions of officers on this earth who all represent the authority of Jesus Christ walking around. And despite all that, evil still exists. Because not everyone does it. There are people who choose to pursue mayhem. They choose to not align with God's word. And when we do that, there's trouble, there's problem, there's pain. Now, we can self-inflict that, and oftentimes there are victims in our lives. Other people feel the weight of that because of our mistakes. So as it is in the physical realm, so it is in the spiritual realm. God has given us an armor to protect us, Ephesians 6. He's given us every piece of defensive equipment we need to withstand the enemy's assaults. He's given us a weapon, the sword of his spirit, the word of God, to go on the offensive. And he's given us tactics to engage and overcome evil, because there is evil in this world. Well, I think I said it at staff meeting a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, Lord, you could solve a lot of our problems by just showing up tomorrow. No, until then, we had to engage and overcome evil. Right? But we have to recognize that sometimes, we're talking about tactics now, right? Prayer, praise. Sometimes you face an opponent that requires you to change tactics. Again, I'm a law enforcement guy. I did a lot of training, and I would have to train our officers and say, look, you know, I'll run you through everything that we know how to do. I'll give you every tool on the bat belt and everything technically we have so that whatever, you're fully equipped for whatever situation you encounter. And inevitably, officers would revert to one or two techniques that they felt most comfortable with, and they would use that even if it was being ineffective. You know, because every technique we use has a very specific window. It addresses a very specific type of opponent. And so when they're wrestling around with somebody and they're trying to get a wrist lock on and they can't get control, you know, we're doing these simulations, and they're looking at me, why isn't this working? Because you're not, it's the wrong technique. Or they'll go to pepper spray, you know, I'm going to pepper spray somebody, you know, and I would tell them, like, you can't rely on that. It's a tool. If it doesn't work, go to something else. If you hit them with pepper spray and it doesn't affect them in the first 5-10 seconds, it doesn't matter how much of it you put on them. You can empty the can. It's not going to matter. Go to something else. And I've run dozens, if not hundreds of people through pepper spray. How many of you ever had pepper spray? Anybody? A few unlucky ones out there, right? I took it seven times. It doesn't get any better. I'll build a tolerance to it. No, you don't. It's terrible. It stinks every time, right? But I would run officers through these things, and, you know, and inevitably, most of them have the same reaction. A lot of gagging and spitting and mucus, and it's an ugly mess, right? But there, I had a few. You know, I remember he was like, he had to be like 70 years old, park ranger, you know? Hit him with the spray, and he went like, just blinked. Grabbed the paper towel, just, you know, and he was like, I said, I'm good, I'm ready to go. You know, another guy I knew, you know, we were gonna do pepper spray in the afternoon. He got wings for lunch. He got his pepper spray out. It's unreliable. Okay, it doesn't work on everyone. I said, so you gotta be ready to switch it up. I said, because, you know, you're the officer. You're the one establishing control. You, if it doesn't work, go to something else. You find somebody that, you know, hey, I am justified in meeting this threat with deadly force because they are a deadly threat. Well, how many times am I authorized to shoot somebody? The answer is until they're stopped being a threat. I know that's not a real, you know, but that's how the legal system is set up. That's how we know, like, you can shoot somebody until they are no longer a threat. That may take one bullet, and you may have to empty the whole magazine. You won't know until you start pulling the trigger. The reason I say all that is because in the same way, every spiritual battle you face is different. Just because you tried one tactic last week and it worked doesn't mean it's going to necessarily work this time. So don't get stuck there or frustrated and say, well, I did this. You know, I said, I prayed in Jesus' name, and I prayed over my house, and I prayed for the sickness, and it worked last week, and now it's not working, so I'm just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. If you get in that case, you get in that situation, change tactics. Go to something else. Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. So, there are different ways. Here, let me give you another example. There are different ways I would take officers. I said, you know, there's different ways to knock on a door. You know, as a parole officer, my whole job was to go out into the community and get into someone's house so that you could really get a sense of what was going on. That's what it was about. You know, and my coworkers used to laugh at me because they said, you have such a cute, soft knock. You know, I don't know if I want to knock on that one, so I'll go over here. I would knock on the door and they're like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, what's the goal here? The goal was to get inside this house. I said, everyone knows what a cop knock sounds like. Like, you're blowing the door off the hinges with that. I'm like, I asked him, I said, would you answer the door, your door, if somebody came to you like that? Maybe with a gun drawn or something, you know? Like, I said, no. I said, so, he said, they know what a cop knock sounds like. I said, so mix it up, try, you know. And somebody over there, and a couple, hey, oh, it's you. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Right? Okay, depending on the situation you're in. So I said, okay, well, you know, that's you know, there's no such thing as routine. But I said, okay, so you can change your tactics. So depending on what you think you're going to anticipate, what you're going to find in there. If I was going to a house and figured, okay, this is probably going to go sideways here, there's nothing wrong with pulling your baton out and using that, having it in your hand and knock on the door. Not slamming it, but just knock, knock, knock. That way, if the door opens and there's a problem, well, now I'm already engaged. Sometimes, though, despite all your authority and despite all your intentions, the bad guy doesn't want to open a door. You have a legal right to go in there. You know there's bad stuff happening there that you're going to put a stop to. They're not going to open a door. So the police developed what is the ultimate knock-knock tool, the battering ram. You know, big piece of steel. The guy gets open the door, boom! We're going to make an entrance into this thing, right? And I'm telling you that praise is the door breacher to the enemy strongholds in your life. Because there is something that is established here. Your enemy does not want to give you access because he knows that when you come in that you're going to drive him out. You're going to put a stop to his shenanigans. So this stronghold has been built by the things that we've given him over time. And we finally reach that realization and say, enough, I'm not giving you any more. This stronghold is going to come tearing down. Praise is the way to open that door and get in there. I'm going to get to that in a minute. All right. What's the whole goal here? Just like it was for law enforcement officers, it is the same for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Your goal is to gain entry into the enemy's territory so that you can exercise your lawful control and authority over him. Sometimes the enemy does not open his door willingly because he knows you're coming for him and because you're going to put a stop to what he's doing. Now, I just want to talk real quick about this, all right? So, and I'm giving credit to Protective Safety Systems. John, if you're listening to this, John was my lead instructor. Don't sue me. I'm giving you all the credit for this because you're the one who put all the pieces together here, okay? And I was an instructor for a long time. But there's different kinds of pressure. You have to understand how pressure works. Pressure is force divided by area, meaning the smaller the area have, the more force you can exert on it, the greater the pressure you're going to feel. There's different kinds of pressure: gradual, thrust, impact, oscillating, cumulative. All right. Let me give you an example here. Why do you use a steak knife to cut your steak and not a butter knife? What's sharper about it? What's that blade look like? Like it's got all these little points, right? A butter knife has one long blade, right? It's the same uniform. A steak knife has those little serrated edges on it. This, you're exerting pressure, force over area. As you cut down on your steak knife, all the energy from your arm, from your hand, is extended along that knife blade into that fine tooth point, that sawtooth blade, that cuts through the steak. That's why it works. That's why you don't use a butter knife. Right? Same thing we apply when we're authorizing and exerting lawful control. Massive amounts of force over a smaller area is going to generate more pressure. It's going to result better, bigger results. results. Okay, so gradual thrust, impact, oscillating pressure. You know, like okay, you know, you got this nerve here, and you're like, okay, I push on it. Ah, it hurts. But not only that, now I'm going to hear, and I'm going to move that around an area. And you get, ow, that really hurts. Okay, so what we want to talk about is cumulative pressure. Cumulative pressure, because praise is cumulative pressure because it's repetitive. It's like a hammer strike or a hurricane waves that just keep knocking on this thing. So let me give you an example. Everybody do this. Put your hand up. Take your finger. Tap your forearm. Not her forearm, your forearm. That didn't hurt, right? No. But if you do that for the rest of the service, you get about 100 times into that. By the time you get to this, your arm's going to go, oh, please, no. Cumulative pressure. It's not much, but if you do it repetitive over time, is going to have a devastating result. That's what praise is. Praise puts cumulative pressure on the enemy. See, we have to recognize that there are things in our lives, sometimes there are things in our lives where we have the authority. We have the power over the enemy, but we don't have access to it. Praise kicks that door open, gets us in there. Now, the enemy is at a place where he has to listen to us. Right? So simply, you know, as a law enforcement officer, I could stand outside in the street all day and say, you know, little pig, let me in, you know. Open a door. If they don't open the door, my authority means nothing. Now, if we get in there, now we can do something. That's what we have to do with strongholds in our lives, okay? So let's give you another sword drill. You're all in James yet, or you were actually in 2 Corinthians 10, but let's go to Acts chapter 16. 25 and 26. Acts chapter 16. Kathy? Yeah, now you can read. I know you're in the right verse. There you go. Amen. Amen. What do you want? Peanut butter. All right. Sharon, heads up here. Well, I'm gonna go high, all right? We'll go high. There we go. All right. Notice what he says there, right? Paul and Silas praying around midnight, and God broke through, and all the doors, not just theirs, not just their chains, all the prison doors, all the chains were opened. You understand the power that you have when you commit your heart, your mind to aligning with God's will. What happens? That you can break the power not only in your own life, but in the people around you. It's easy to be reactive. It's easy to praise God when things are going your way. God, I thank you. It's a beautiful day, and then you know it's just sunshine and rainbows, and not a cloud in the sky. And everything's great, right? It is faith, like Paul and Silas had, to be proactive. To praise God in spite of them. They could have every reason. You know, this is right after Paul, you know, they cast out this demon and all this other stuff, and the result of that, they get thrown in jail, they get beaten. So now, you know, it could be real easy to sit there and say, God, where are you? And how, you know, how could you do this to me? But they didn't. They said, nope, I am going to align my heart and my mind with God's will. I'm going to praise him for what he has done and what he will do. And when they did that, when they praised, then asserting themselves against the strongholds, against the fortresses of fear, against doubt, and against even any previous disobedience. Asserting yourselves against that fortress and blew the doors open, and God moved. All right? You have to understand that it drives the devil absolutely bonkers for you to praise God in spite of all the reasons the devil gives you to not do so. You do that, it just drives him crazy. He's going to lob all this stuff at you, and you say, no, I'm not giving into that. I am going to fix my eyes, my heart, my mind, everything in my being. I'm going to commit and stay true to God. Drives him absolutely crazy. You know, there's been many times in our lives, Jenny and I, where we've had to say, you know, God, if this thing doesn't work out, we will praise you and we will love you still. And I can tell you every time that we've said that, that it is like an earthquake in the spiritual realm where things break loose and the oppression and the attacks stop. Because we tear down those strongholds because, you know, we could say, well, I don't know, fear and doubt, and I don't know, is God good enough, and all that stuff. Not giving to that, not giving a place to it. You know, asserting our faith, asserting our confidence, and God moves in the spiritual realm. Once you gain entry into that stronghold, then you can assert your authority in your life and in the lives of other people. Let's read Hebrews 13:15. Through Christ, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. We've talked about devotion. Why is devotion important? Because what we, you know, devote yourself to prayer. Why? Because what you devote yourself to, what you give your attention to, is what you empower in your life. So we're going to be devoted to conversation with God, talking with him, so that we can empower him in our lives. We're going to give in constant prayer and in praise. Why? When we praise, we are blocking the enemy from having any influence over our thoughts. See, the human mind can only concentrate on one thing at one time. So if I am giving God my praise and telling God, I thank you for how wonderful you are and how amazing you are, Lord, you caused the sun to shine and the earth to spin, the seasons and all these things, Lord, and you did all that, and you still, in all that, you care for me. You care for my life, and you say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in your image, and that you have a plan for me, and that plan is for hope and for a future and not for despair. As I'm doing that, there is no room for the enemy to get in there and say, well, what about this and what about that? And blah, 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 blah. It's gone. He has no power. We said praise opens the door to the enemy strongholds. Doors open from both sides, don't they? So praise will give you access into the devil's stronghold so that you can get in there and exert your authority over him and cast him out and tear down that fortress. It will also, at the same time, it will build a stronghold on your behalf so that he cannot gain entrance into you. That's what praise is. You know, Normandy, right? In the battle, you know, when they landed on the beach on D-Day, what was the first thing they had to do? Take out the enemy bunkers that were there. Because they're just raining down fire. And so we get through the beach up there and take that stronghold. And then what? Let's turn it around, and now it's a bunker for us. That's what praise does for you. Praise is ordering your mind to be in alignment with your spirit. That's what it comes down to. Praise is aligning your mind with your spirit. When you're... It's the outward expression of the treasure of your heart. What are you really focused on? What are you really giving the power to in your life? You know, and I say this, you know, that you experience this victory when you do it from the heart. And I know we can, you know, we're a laid-back church, come as you are, have the coffee, all that great stuff, and we do that so you feel comfortable here. But we recognize that carries with it this temptation that says, yeah, I'm going to come into the praise time and I'll sing. My guitars are a little screechy today. I don't really like this song. How many times are we going to sing this chorus? What's that perfume I smell? Well, the kids are acting up. When we do that, what are we really focusing on? The mind can only concentrate on one thing. So if you're standing there with your coffee cup in your hand, or your tea in my case, right? Can I really engage with, can I give God my all with this? Where's my focus? It's right here. You know, and I'm praise blocks out distractions when it comes from you. Where's your treasure? You know, and I got to meddle at least a little bit here. You know, I know, guys, I get it. We can get excited about a football game, about a touchdown. Where's Jeff? Jeff's got his Chiefs on jersey on today. There he is, right? Be hooting and hollering for touchdowns. How many of you hooting and hollering because Tom Brady announced his retirement this week? Oh, thank God he's gone, right? That's a rumor. That's right. It's true. He hasn't confirmed that yet. I know Rick's, can you tell Rick's a Brady fan? I am too. It's okay. But, right? We went to the movies a couple weeks ago. We saw the new Spider-Man film. And I won't give anything away, right? Spoilers if you haven't seen it yet. But people in the audience applauded when a character made an entrance. You're applauding an actor who isn't even in the room. Hey! And it comes to God Almighty and all that he's done for us, and the best we can come up with is I'll sing a little bit, but I don't really like singing in public, because, and then we wonder why there are strongholds in our lives. why we're not experiencing God in the fullness, why we're under assault. Music team, you guys want to come up, please? Make your way up here. I promise we're gonna. We can't say teach us to praise and then say, okay, guys, see ya. Have a great week. We're gonna give you an opportunity to engage in praise. And we're going to bring the kids back in for us so that they can join us, so they can be here with us. But I want to read to you a psalm. You know, I mean, God's word is just loaded. And, this could be a series. We could spend weeks here, but I didn't want to do that. We just want to hit it hard and fast here. We're talking about making entry into the devil's strongholds that he has in our lives. And what is the scriptures? I mean, Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars and light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, because God is always on the move. He's always doing something new in your lives. So therefore, we don't just sing the same old tired songs from this, well, yeah, I've sang it. But every day, God, there is a new song in my heart, and his praises in the congregation of the holy ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. If you have something in your life, you have a stronghold, you have a situation, I don't care, from the minor to the massive, whatever it is, you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. You fix your eyes on God the Father, who loves you and cares for you and has a promise for you, and you give him praise, and you tell the devil where he can go, and you watch what God does on your behalf. Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty expanse, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with harp and lyre, praise him with timbrel and dancing, praise him with stringed instruments and pipe, praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Psalm 150 says that you only have one requirement in order to be eligible to praise the Lord. I want everybody in the room to do this. If you can do that, you have reason and the ability to praise him. Now, we got some stringed instruments up here. I'm sure Jeff's going to supply us with some resounding or crashing cymbals, yeah? Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all your transgressions. Having nailed it to the cross, he disarmed the spiritual forces of darkness and made a public mockery of them. I said the other night, dead men tell no tales. When you were dead in your sin, you had no reason, no ability to praise him. But thanks be to God, because of what he has done for you, you are alive. So you have reason to praise him, ready to sing him. You are not dead. Folks, it is time to go to battle. It is time to knock down the strongholds of the enemy and time to build one of your own against him. Praise aligns your heart and your mind with God's word, which leaves the enemy no room, no opportunity for him to affect you, to afflict you. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Who's ready to crush Satan this morning? I want to give an opportunity here for everybody, anyone here. If you have never before said yes to Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship with him, if you've never accepted his death on the cross, but you want to, today's the day. Right now is your moment. If that's your decision, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that decision? Okay. Father, we come to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Your magnificence, your greatness, and your great love for us. Lord, that you created all these things and you cared for us, you thought of us. So Jesus, thank you for dying, for giving your life on the cross. Because of your obedience being brought back to glorious life, that we can have the promise of a new life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which lives within us, transforms us from the inside out, helps us and enables us to understand your ways, God, to do things like you do, so that we're not bound by the old way of doing things. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us into newness of life. Now, Lord, we give you praise. We speak to the enemy forces, the spiritual forces of darkness. We wage war in the spiritual realm. cast you out, Satan, from our lives, from our church, from our community, from our country, from our loved ones, from any hurt, any habit, any addiction, any destructive behavior. Satan, you are cast out and bound. We tear down your enemy's strongholds through the word of God. We take every thought captive, and we do that by giving you praise, Lord. So congregation, would you stand with us? Let's engage in some battle here, shall we? Amen.